Let's take our Bibles and open up to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We will not be in Revelation this morning. I have 8 points, but you don't have to be concerned. My outline's at home, so. But the Lord really spoke to my heart that this is where we need to go this morning, especially in light of starting the door hangers this Saturday. Because the appeal is made often, not just in our church, but in every church. Who will serve God? Who will serve God? And the way I think, the way my mind works, when I hear that appeal, the first thing I do is ask, why? So I'd like to answer that question, why? Maybe you never asked it. Maybe you're a better person than I am. But I'd like to address, why should we serve God? And if I was to stop and just simply take a show of hands for reasons why, we could come up with at least a half dozen, if not more. But we're not going to do that. Let's go ahead. If you found your place in Romans chapter 12, let's go ahead and stand and read just the first couple of verses here. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, we thank you for your word, and as we spend just a few moments looking into it today, may your Holy Spirit work in our lives. Father, cleanse us of all sin that might be a hindrance. And Father, help each of us just now to make a conscious choice to yield to your Holy Spirit, that you might be glorified, that you might be uplifted. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In these two verses, we have the first of at least 8, and I could think of, if I even tried, could come up with more, the first of at least 8 reasons why we should serve God. And this reason is very simple, because God commanded us to serve Him. And this is an important note for us to keep in mind, because too often we think that serving God is our choice, that if I want to do something for God with my time, with my efforts, with my abilities, with my talents, if I want to do anything for Him, then that's my choice to make. After all, this is my body, isn't it? Doesn't it belong to me? Don't I have a right to make the decisions that involve my body that I want to make? Isn't that my right? You know what God says? Absolutely not. Because first of all, this body is not yours. If you belong to God, He has informed us, if you are saved, that this body belongs to Him. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And we're to serve Him, and we're to honor Him, and we're to do as He bids. We've been bought with a price. Now that price was His Son, who died on Calvary. And so that statement that this is my body, I have the right to do with it as I wish, doesn't hold water when we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ and have to give an answer for the things done in this body, whether it be good or bad. If we say, well, God, you know, I didn't feel like doing that, and that was my right to choose. He said, no, it's not. He says, I already made the choice for you. Your choice is to serve me. Now, God is not a God without compassion, a God without mercy, nor a God without love. In fact, every one of these reasons, the basis behind each one of these reasons is the love of God. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But when it comes to serving God, too often we think that we've got to quit our jobs, that we've got to leave our families behind, and we have to forget all forms of recreation, and every living, breathing moment, we're supposed to be praying or reading our Bibles or out doing something of service to God. But that's not the way God is. God, remember what He did on the seventh day? He rested. And the reason he rested is because he knows that our bodies are created with that need for rest and recreation. And so we need to keep that in mind. But with that in mind, we also need to balance that with time set aside to serve God. Coming to church is not serving God, unless you have a ministry here during the church hours. But what coming to church is just simply worship. And so something beside church needs to be set aside to serve God, because he commanded it. Let's look at these verses again and look at them in a little more detail. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, how? By the mercies of God. Because of God's mercy, because God loved us enough to send his son, because God looked down from heaven and saw our need, and he did then something about it, because he didn't strike us dead at the very first sin that we ever committed, because of God's mercies that he saved us, he said, we should then present our bodies. Notice God doesn't take our bodies. That God doesn't force us to serve him. That God doesn't force us to be a living sacrifice. God wants us to make that decision on our own. He will not make us do something that we do not want to do. And that's why we can choose not to serve him, even though we've been commanded to do that, and God won't strike us dead at that moment in time. Again, appealing to the mercies of God. And so he tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now much has been said about that statement, living sacrifice. First of all, it is a sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice is given in its entirety, giving in its wholeness. Normally, in the Old Testament Mosaic law, a sacrifice would lose its life. And that's critical here, but God doesn't want that to happen. God wants us to stay alive. He wants us to be lively, or a living sacrifice, one that is going about doing things for him. But nevertheless, a sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice has no self-plans, or no self-ambitions, or no self-desires because of its death. And that's the way God wants us to be. In other words, to put in a term we use today, God wants us to be putty in his hands, that he can mold and he can make, he can shape and he can do whatever it is he chooses to do with us. That's the command given to us here, to allow ourselves to be used of God any way he sees fit. And if he has to mold us and to make us to get to that place of use, then he has a right to do just that. And we're supposed to say, God, here am I, use me. Now that's a hard decision to come to allow ourselves to be moldable. Because often the way God molds us is through pressure, through difficulties, through hard times, hardships we would call them. To make us into a certain person that he can use, or to put us in a certain position that God has planned ahead of time, where there's someone in need that we can then be of service to. It's funny, as I talk to other pastors, it's like we share a common experience. Many of us do. I pastored 4.5 years up in Michigan before I came here, and they weren't always easy years. I'm not going to get into details and situations that happened, but I remember talking to other pastors, more than one. In fact, it's several pastors that had a very similar situation in their first church, their ministry was about the same as mine was. But what God is doing is putting us through a hard time, putting us through difficulties, situations, and circumstances, molding us, if we're pliable, to be used somewhere else. God's plan, I believe, always was for me to come here to Bucyrus, Ohio. But I wasn't ready when I went into the ministry, and so God put me there to make me ready. You might be thinking, well, he's not ready yet. You're probably right. But nevertheless, you're stuck with me at least for now. But the point is, we need to be moldable. And we need to make that choice. That's what he says, present yourselves. What he's saying is, tell him and make that conscious decision. God, if it takes hardship for me to be in the place to be used by you to serve you, then I'm willing. I will do it. It's not an easy decision to make, as I said. Most Christians, when it comes to that, turn and run the other way. Because most people don't want difficulty. Most people want smooth sailing. They all want to lay down in that bed of roses. And I never understood that term. Did you ever lay down in roses before? They got these little things on the stem called thorns, don't they? That's not very comfortable. We ought to come up with a different phraseology, shouldn't we? But nevertheless, life will not be easy if we're serving God, because he's going to form us. He's going to make us. He's going to mold us. Let's continue on. We're talking about why we should serve God. We should serve God because he commanded us to serve him. He wants it to be our choice, but nevertheless, he commanded us. He just wants us to be obedient, a living sacrifice, holy. What does the word holy mean? We usually use this in reference to God. What do we mean when we say that God is holy? Well, it means he's far above man. That's certainly true. But it's talking about in one specific area that God is so much greater than man. And he puts it in easy terms for dumb people like me to understand in Romans chapter 3, verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's how God's holy. He's holy because there is no sin in him, nor any shadow or hint of sin. God, in fact, can never sin, and that's what makes God ultimately holy. And so when he turns around and says to you and to me and says, now you be a living sacrifice, and as a living sacrifice, I need you to be holy. What is he telling us? He's telling us that we need to fight against the temptation in our lives. He's telling us that we need to strive to overcome temptation and sin that so easily besets us on a daily basis, a continuous basis. He understands that we're not always going to succeed, and that's why he gives us the avenue of confession in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, and then in chapter 2, verse number 1, he tells us that we have that Jesus is a propitiation, and he's there on our behalf, our mediator. But nevertheless, he wants us to strive for that. Holiness. Acceptable unto God. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. What in the world is he talking about here? I think what he's telling us is that there's more than one way to skin a cat. He wants us to serve him his way. Now, what do I mean by that? When we start our service, we have a song service. Did you know there's more than one way to have a song service? Well, we all know that. It's very obvious. We can play different types of music, and we can play different types of music different ways. We choose to have a piano and generally an organ along with it, because we believe that gives us reverent singing to God. But you know, you've been to one, a church that you come into it and you have a drum set and a keyboard. If they have an organ or a piano, they have dust covers on them because they never get played. And they have the rock band. Now, oftentimes it's stated that it's just a matter of preference. Is it a matter of preference? I don't believe so. You see, God tells us right here, acceptable. A way that's pleasing to him. And so, and we don't have time to get into why I don't believe that's an acceptable form of worship to God. I know it's very popular. I know there's a lot of churches doing it. A lot of churches a lot larger than ours. But that doesn't make something right because it's popular. Remember when Jesus was crucified, what was the popular thing to say when he stood before Pilate? The popular thing was crucify him, crucify him. Did that make them right? Did that make them standing on the side of God? Obviously not. The majority is not necessarily the right choice to make. It'd be nice if it was, but it's not. Acceptable is the term that God chooses to use. And He tells us what's acceptable in His Word. And so we must know His Word and know these things and be able to distinguish between right and wrong and acceptable and unacceptable. But what He's telling us is He commands us to serve Him. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A lot of times we just pass over this point, reasonable service. Now, let me ask you this question. What would we call it if we chose not to present our bodies a living sacrifice? If it's, now this isn't a hard question to answer. Obviously, it's rhetorical. I don't expect you to raise your hands. But if it's a reasonable service to present our bodies, what is it if we choose not to present our bodies? It's unreasonable. It's logical to present our bodies. It's illogical not to present our bodies. That's what God is saying here in His Word, because He's commanded us to do it, and as His children, we ought to obey Him just as a child obeys their parents. A young child joys over obeying their parents. You may be thinking, preacher, you don't have any clue to raising children. My kids don't like it when they have to obey me. They really do. They might moan and groan sometimes, but they really do choose and enjoy obeying. Because what they dislike more than doing what they're told is they dislike displeasing you. And so they conform, even when they're asked to do something that they would prefer not to do, they'll do it because they don't want to displease you. Why don't we have that same mentality when it comes to serving God? Why don't we have those same thoughts? You see, when we choose to either present or not present, the thought that never enters our mind is, what will God think about this? How will He feel on this decision? Will He be pleased with me, or will He be disappointed by me? No child wants to be a disappointment to mom and dad. And so we should not want to be disappointed, or we should not want to disappoint our Heavenly Father. And so it's just our reasonable service. Now, I said I'd get back to this whole idea of love. We think of commandments as not being based in love. And yet the commandments of God, not just this one, but all of God's commandments are given to us by a loving Heavenly Father. The thou shalt nots, they're there to keep us from hurting ourselves. They're there to keep us from ruining our lives. They're there to keep us walking the way that will give us the most enjoyment, to give us the most pleasure in life. And so when we look at this commandment, we think, wow, that's going to take a lot of my time. Wow, that's going to take a lot of preparation. Wow, that's going to take a lot of effort. Wow, that's going to be a lot of rejection from other people in my community if I serve God. But God is saying, look, that may not sound like the best choice to make, but He's saying, trust me, it is. That's why I made a commandment, because I know what makes you happy. I know what makes you satisfied. I know what brings fulfillment in your life. I know how you tick. And this is what makes life joyful for you, by just submitting and surrendering to me. It goes completely contrary to the way our depraved minds or our fallen minds are wired. Because to us, everything's all about self and gratifying self. When in reality, life is all about honoring God and glorifying Him. And so we serve God because He commanded it. Let's just look at one more that's kind of in conjunction. Turn over to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Let's start with verse number 12, and we'll read down through verse number 17. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him. And what are those next three words? And for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The second reason why we need to serve God, answering why we should serve him, first of all, because he commanded it. Secondly, because he created us. Because he created us. This passage makes it very clear, and the reason why he created us, those three words that I asked, what are those next three words? And for him. That's why God created us, not for ourselves, not for our families, not for our employer, but God created us for him, to honor him and to serve him and to glorify him with our lives. And he has that right because he's our creator. He owns us. Whether he saved us or not, he still holds the title deed to you and to me. He has a right to force us into service, but he gives us the option. Now, certainly there'll be consequences to pay if we choose not to do what he's commanded us to do. But because he's our creator, he has the capability and he has the right to do just that. And he has the right to give us that commandment. And because God is our creator, we choose to serve him, or we should. Now, in light of God being our creator, and we see an evidence in that of his love, and I talk about this from time to time when we think of creation. Right now, the flowers are trying to bloom. We have some tulips in our garden. They were in full bloom, looked really nice, and then it got cold. I couldn't believe it. They just completely turned, the flowers were pointing completely towards the dirt. And then it got warm again. And what I couldn't believe is they stood straight back up. Unbelievable. You would have never known that they had completely wilted. I don't know what they're going to look like when I get home today, but I'm hopeful. But you know, God didn't have to create color. He didn't have to create flowers. He didn't have to create music. We love music. You may be thinking, well, you obviously, after what I said earlier, don't like the same music you like. But God gave us music. He didn't have to do that. Think of how many things God built into his creation for our enjoyment, for our pleasure, demonstrating his love for us. Don't you feel a little obligated then to repay that love? Now, how can you repay that love to God? By serving him. You can be obedient in serving him, but repaying his love. And that ought to be the motivating factor. Not that we do it because we have to do it, but because we want to do it. God is our creator. He demonstrates his love in the creation. And he's hopeful that you and I will say, here am I, send me. I present myself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto you, which is just simply my reasonable service. I won't be transformed, I won't be conformed to this world, but rather I'll be transformed in the image of his Son. That ought to be the prayer in each of our hearts this morning, as we consider just two of the many, many reasons why we should serve God. What choice will you make? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of it. Thank you for the privilege of being used by you. Father, we understand you could have done it all yourself, or you could have sent angels, as we read in your word you did on so many occasions. But today, you choose to use us in all of our frailties, all of our issues, all of our circumstances. But you give us the high privilege of serving Almighty God. Help us this morning to make that conscious choice that I will present my body a living sacrifice, usable for service. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.